The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
For decades, the power of women's hormone shifts has been unrecognized and underestimated. Most women have a lack of education when it comes to the endocrine system and how and why our hormones affect our minds, moods, and behaviors. Welcome to Holy Hormones, Honey, with your host, Leslie Carol Botha, sponsored by True Hope, the leaders in brain health. When women thrive, everyone thrives. That is True Hope. Now, here is your host, Leslie Botha.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Holy Hormones, Honey, the greatest story never told. I'm Leslie Carol Botha, your host. The topic of today's episode is ADHD, diagnosis or deficiency. For those of you who are not aware of what ADHD is, it is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, a neurobehavioral imbalance, and the most commonly diagnosed disorder in childhood and often persists into adulthood. According to the CDC, the number of children diagnosed with ADHD in the U.S. stands at 5.2 million, and that number is growing exponentially, along with trends in ADHD medication use. Many other psychological symptoms are associated with ADHD, including bipolar disorder, anxiety, depression, social anxiety, and panic disorders. Julia Ruckledge, PhD, has conducted a body of work from ADHD, bipolar, and OCD using a micronutrient formula in lieu of medications. The outcome of her studies conclusively find that the vitamin and mineral supplements had positive outcomes alongside an absence of side effects. She believes that further research needs to be conducted in larger controlled trials using the multi-nutrient approach. So, ADHD, diagnosis or micronutrient deficiency? We want you to decide as you listen to the show today. Julia Ruckledge, PhD, is professor of clinical psychology in the Department of Psychology at the University of Canterbury, Christchurch, New Zealand. Originally from Toronto, she did her training in neurobiology and clinical psychology at the University of Calgary, and the neurobiology was at McGill. Her interest in nutrition and mental illness grew out of her own research, showing poor outcomes for children with significant psychiatric illness despite receiving conventional treatments for their conditions. For the past 6 years, she has been investigating the role of micronutrients in the expression of mental illness. That is a fabulous term, in the expression of mental illness. Specifically ADHD, bipolar disorder, anxiety, and more recently, stress and PTSD associated with Canterbury earthquakes. But before we go into our and dive right into the segment, it's time for hormone news. I've got an interesting feature post. We all know it's the holiday and just the season for giving. And if you want to give that woman in your life something new and different, well, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but Microsoft and Twitter are in women's bras these days. That's exactly right. Technology in our bras. Breast stress, you could call it. Microsoft is developing a bra with electrodes that can diagnose women's stress levels. And Twitter sends out a tweet every time a woman unhooks her bra to remind her to do a self-breast exam. Technology in our bras. All the latest for Christmas. Okay, moving on. December 4th, both the Katie Couric Show and the Doctor's TV Show, which aired a segment on the HPV vaccine, Gardasil. actually, that segment was aired on December 10th and then on Katie Couric, and then the other was aired this week on The Doctor Show. On The Couric Show, parents had a chance to tell their stories of how their daughters died or were injured post-vaccination. On The Doctor Show, two young women who are now infertile post-Gardasil had the opportunity to tell their stories. They have filed a federal lawsuit against the vaccine maker. Of course, there were medical experts on both sides warning about or defending the vaccines, but that is not the point. The point is, and I believe the HPV vaccine issue will immortalize us, is that we as a country, and I could even say as a global community, have been so quick to fall into the profitable, for pharma, one pill for every ill mentality. This goes for vaccines as well. We have blinders on as to the toxic chemical cocktails we ingest, inject, or apply, and we wonder why we are getting sick? Where is the science that irrefutably states that if you put a toxin into a living organism, that organism will thrive and survive? If that were the case, there would not be lists of potentially life-threatening side effects associated with the medications we're taking. What medical consumers also do not realize is that these biosynthetic compounds are also depleting essential micronutrients in the cells in our bodies, meaning that we are starving on a cellular level. And that, over time, leads to illness and death. Chandler Mars with Leucine Health was on the show on November 14th, discussing not only the lack of research on women's health, but also the health survey she has created called Real Women, Real Data, Real Solutions. You can find out more about those surveys on hormonesmatter.com. Participate. Help us build independent data about women's health and the products that are being marketed to women. One other thing. Chandler mentioned that thiamine deficiency may be a reason why some of the girls she has tested has had an adverse reaction to the HPV vaccine Gardasil. As of this past Wednesday, Chandler has now tested and identified four girls with a thiamine deficiency suffering from adverse reactions. Maybe micronutrient deficiency is why some people have adverse reactions to meds or vaccinations and others do not. Still skeptical? Science Daily just came out with an article this past Wednesday citing that long-term use of common heartburn and ulcer medications are linked to vitamin B12 deficiency. And this was a new study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Meaning that people who use these common over-the-counter and prescription products are depleting vitamin B12 in their body. Left untreated, vitamin B12 deficiency can increase the risk of dementia, nerve damage, anemia, and other medical complications, some of which may be irreversible. Stomach acid aids and vitamin B12 absorption, suppressing the acids that can lead to health-threatening vitamin deficiency. And this is the first large population-based study linking vitamin B12 deficiency to acid-suppressing medications. In 2012, about 15 million people received 157 million prescriptions for a class of anti-acid medications known as proton pump inhibitors. Here's another article. From common colds to deadly lung diseases, one protein plays a key role. Again, Science Daily. An international team of researchers has zeroed in on a protein that plays a key role in many lung-related ailments, from seasonal coughing and hacking to more serious diseases such as MRSA infections and cystic fibrosis. Proteins are macromolecules, folks. They are constructed from one or more unbranched chains of amino acids. A typical protein contains 200 to 300 amino acids. So let me ask you this. Where in your diet are you getting micronutrients, including amino acids? Again, the topic of today's episode is ADHD, diagnosis or deficiency. Professor Julia Ruckelich joins us from the early morning hours in New Zealand. Julia, thank you very much for being on the show. Good morning. You've had a very interesting background going to school in Canada, and as you mentioned, you thought you'd move to New Zealand, and you've never left.
That's right. Yeah.
But my question to you is this morning, how did you get involved with micronutrients?
Okay, so it's a long answer. I've I trained as a clinical psychologist, and one of the things that I did when I first got to New Zealand was do a whole bunch of research on adolescents who were suffering from what's been termed bipolar. I hate that term, but it's great mood instability, and also in conjunction with ADHD. And so it was just a cross-sectional study, and so you're looking at how are these kids doing psychosocially, particularly, like are they more anxious? Are they struggling more academically? Are they having more social difficulties, et cetera? And so that research was done with a population of people who are being treated by conventional medications and other therapies. And the conclusion that kind of hit me in the head doing that work was that these are young people who are getting the best treatment, and they'd be similar types of treatments that American children would be getting. And their outcomes are so poor compared to young people who don't have these diagnoses. And so as somebody who went into this field wanting to see people get better, I just felt that what we're doing right now for these young people is just not good enough. And so that sort of conclusion came at the same time as observing Bonnie Kaplan, who is my PhD supervisor at the University of Calgary, and hearing her talk about how she was using micronutrients and doing some clinical trials looking at whether or not they had any effect on mood instability. And it just seemed that it was really necessary for me to start looking at this approach and trying to do some rigorous scientific trials to see whether or not it actually had any validity.
You know, you've worked long and hard on this. I'm looking at a couple of your studies, and you have many published studies on this topic. But you also mention in the effect of micronutrients and behavior and mood in adults with ADHD that people on medications have a very low uptake, and that they have a very low efficacy. And indeed, many people do not stay on their medications for even a year. So there has to be something there that's indicating something's not working.
People do find, when it comes to medications for ADHD, you wouldn't get anything better than some of the medications out there if you're looking for a short-term effect. So if you're wanting to see a child or an adult display less hyperactivity or appear to be paying attention. And I say that because I'm not necessarily convinced that they are paying attention, but they look like they're paying attention. If you're wanting that effect in a very short term, you won't get anything better than the stimulants, that is Ritalin or some of the other ones like dexamphetamine. But if you're looking for something that's going to make a difference in the long term in terms of changing those behaviors, then those medications are proving that they're not doing what we think they're doing. So if you look at the long-term outcomes of kids who have been on medications and you compare them to kids who haven't been taking those medications, you don't see that the kids who are taking medications are performing, say, better academically. And that's surprising because if they are, as I say, having the effect that we think they're having, like helping kids pay attention, then they should be excelling at school. But they're not. And so that for me is a real worry when we're recommending these things that we see have such a good short-term effect, but they're having really disappointing long-term effects, that we really need to be looking at other alternatives to treating these children, because we know it's a chronic condition and it doesn't go away. And if they stop their medications because they don't like the side effects or how it makes them feel, then we're back at square one again. It hasn't cured it. It just hides some of those symptoms for the time when they're taking it.
You know, Dr. Peter Bragan has stated that 20% of boys are diagnosed with ADHD and medicated. Natural News came out with an article to the same effect on December 5th. Over 20% of young boys labeled ADHD. The figures are shocking. And ADHD, as you're saying, is it's a condition treated with dangerous medications. And we have seen many, as I've mentioned on this show before, and it's been all over the news and all over the world, our children turning into murderers, school shooting incidents.
Yes.
This should be a concern to everyone.
It definitely should be.
And the other thing I wanted to throw into this mix, and I'm I'm sure you weren't listening to the show, and I forgive you. It's okay. But Robert Whittaker was on, and he is the author of Anatomy of an Epidemic. I know that you know his website, Mad in America, and also contribute to that with your writings. But he made the brilliant statement, and it shocked me when I was reading his book, that people who take these type of psychotropic medications affect the neural pathways in the brain, distort the neural pathways in the brain, the brain's communication system. And that is passed down from one generation to another generation.
Well, sorry, go ahead.
I said that is something that everybody needs to realize. We may think that, you know, the psychotropic meds on that we're on and the antidepressants that we're on are doing us good. But now science has shown that these toxins, these chemical cocktails, are being passed through the umbilical cord into the next generation, affecting their neural pathways in combination with exposure to environmental toxins and lack of nutrients in our now GMO and processed foods.
Absolutely. And we definitely need to be going back to, as you say, the mother and what is she taking and what is she feeding the growing child. And that plays a really important role in terms of overall long-term expression of disease. And we're only starting to grapple with this idea that what is fed during utero is having such an impact on that individual. Sometimes there are studies now that are looking at them 30 years later and recognizing that early malnutrition has an impact in terms of whether or not you're depressed or whether or not you have ADHD long term. And then what you're adding in there is some of the toxins that we're being exposed to on a daily basis. It's a real concern in terms of the long term impact of these toxins on our development. And it's a time bomb in that we don't know what effects they're having, but we're starting to understand it.
And that is part of the exciting time that we are living in, is that science is catching up. We're starting to understand
it,
as Julia Ruckledge has just stated. And that gives us all hope. And that brings us back to the sponsor of this show, True Hope, and the micronutrient supplement that they are using to help people with bipolar disorder, anxiety, depression, ADHD, OCD. And we're going to be back right after this break, and we're going to dive into some of Professor Ruckledge's studies. Stay with us.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you taking medications for depression, anxiety, or hyperactivity? Are you one of the millions of people who have experienced negative side effects from your medication? Do you notice that you just don't feel like yourself? For decades, the nutrient therapy leaders at True Hope have helped tens of thousands of children and adults replace their medications with Empower Plus, an all-natural multivitamin and mineral complex clinically proven to fix the issues rather than cover them up. If you or someone you know is ready for a natural solution that works, go to www.truehope.com to learn more. 20 medical journal publications show that the Empower Plus formulation can replace harsh medications. Thousands of people taking all-natural Empower Plus are medication-free without a return of symptoms. Go to www.truehope.com or call 888-878-3467 to try a bottle of Empower Plus today. Type in offer code RADIO for 25% off your first order. Again, that's www.truehope.com or 888-878-3467.
Understanding your mind, mood, and hormone cycle is dedicated to all the women who have ever experienced a hormone fluctuation, to the generations of women who have died because they had forgotten the source of their being. The richly illustrated groundbreaking book, co-authored by Leslie Carroll Botha and H. Sandra Chevalier Batik, is the product of a 9-year project which represents the author's shared passion and unified purpose to provide women with the education they need to reclaim their bodies and their souls. Find the book today. Click the link on the radio show page.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Holy Hormones, Honey, with Leslie Carol Botha. To call into our program today, please dial 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to leslie@holyhormones.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everyone. ADHD diagnosis or deficiency. My guest is Professor Julia Ruckledge. And she is the professor of clinical psychology in the Department of Psychology at the University of Canterbury, Christchurch, New Zealand. And during the break, Julia reminded me that they are, in New Zealand, approaching the longest day of the year. And for all of us on this side of the globe, we're diving into the depths of darkness. The shortest day of the year is upon us on the solstice on December 21st. That affects many people in many different ways. Mood, disorders, sad, seasonal affective disorder. And Julie even brought up perhaps that's an absence of vitamin D, which we've also discussed on the show. Micronutrients to help stabilize the brain as we're taking this dive into darkness until we rise on the other side. Julie, do you want to add a comment to that?
In terms of, sorry, the vitamin D?
Or vitamin D, or just the whole, what the solstice can do and perhaps the micronutrients to help stabilize mood.
Well, absolutely. In terms of the mood side, I can comment on that in
sure.
that we've seen in terms of people's moods throughout the year and including in the winter, where people will often report to us that they will struggle a lot more with moods, that we're finding that when they are taking micronutrients that we just don't see that sort of fluctuation in their mood like we have seen prior to taking micronutrients. So it does seem to stabilize them in some way, that medications could equally have the same effect but don't always.
So that is a perfect segue into one of the studies I wanted to reference today, the successful treatment of OCD with a micronutrient formula
yep.
following partial response to cognitive behavioral therapy, a case study
yes.
with a young man named SJ.
Yes. Yeah. So that was my first attempt at using micronutrients to treat mental illness. And so I was quite nervous. Having been trained as a clinical psychologist and trained to do cognitive behavior therapy to use vitamins and minerals to see whether or not they had a difference on mental illness. If you think about it, I've been trained to do talking therapies and use that method to make a difference in terms of people's mood or in terms of their obsessions, et cetera. And there is, of course, great science that shows that that is an acceptable and good way forward for many people. In this case, this is a young person who I had seen for years through a youth specialty service in New Zealand and had used cognitive behavior therapy with him and really struggled week after week to see any differences in his obsessions and his compulsions. Eventually, he left the service, and I didn't hear from him for a couple of years. And then I got a call from his mother, and she said his obsessions and his compulsions were getting worse, and that he was feeling suicidal. And was I still available to see him for psychotherapy? And at that point, I'd moved on from that service, and so I wasn't doing that type of work anymore. And so, but I said, you know, I've just been reading some of Bonnie Kaplan's work, and they had a young person who had obsessions with guns and that taking these micronutrients had an effect, and we had these micronutrients available to start running research that on mood and ADHD, and so they were just sitting there in my office, and I thought, well, there's no harm. We might as well give this a go. We've tried psychotherapy with him. It hasn't had any effect. The family were not interested in medications. And so I said, well, I'm happy to follow you as a scientist and see whether or not it makes a difference. And so the family agreed and they came in and we started them on Empower Plus.
And all right. There's a, let me interject here.
Yes.
I love what you said. well, there's no harm.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most important statement yet in this episode today. Yes. Micronutrients, there is no harm. Think about it, folks, versus medications. Before you even go into it, I want to go into what SJ at 16 years was diagnosed with. The psychiatrist diagnosed him with OCD of at least 3 years duration, Asperger's disorder. He had high levels of anxiety and obsessions, mostly about safety issue, fears of getting hurt, that his house was going to burn down, and that his brains were going to fall out. He also had religious obsessions, such as a fear of becoming a non-Christian. His compulsions typically reduced these fears, such as drinking lots of water to prevent the house from burning down, stretching his head to stop his brains falling out, or washing his hands repeatedly, fear of germs. And as you said, the family declined pharmacological options, but they were happy to refer to you for psychological treatment. So continue with that story.
Right. Okay. So within 2 weeks, I think it was, the obsessions and compulsions had almost completely disappeared, and his anxiety was much lower than I'd ever seen him in all those years that I had been working with him using psychotherapy. So it's quite, for somebody who's really wedded to a model in terms of thinking that a really important way forward is using psychotherapy, to see somebody change so drastically in such a short period of time with micronutrients, I had to pay attention. And as a scientist, you have to continue to explore, well, is there some validity to this? Can we run the types of trials that might provide the evidence that is so desperately needed in this field to say that actually this is a really viable way forward for many people with mental illness and an alternative to using medications, or for people who don't respond to psychotherapy? And that's led to all the different other trials that I've been doing over the last 6 years, really trying to build that evidence base. And it's a challenge to do this work. There's very little funding for it, and lots of people look at it very skeptically, of course, and so you end up with struggles in terms of getting people referred to your study because you're using something that's a bit, obviously, is viewed as alternative, and many people find that unacceptable, even though you're trying to build that research base to show that it works or it doesn't work. And so it's been an interesting time doing these types of works because I didn't expect to see so much opposition to even conducting the research.
Really, opposition to the research. And there are very few studies on micronutrient use, as you
Absolutely.
Have noted.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are hundreds of studies on psychopharmacological approaches.
Mm.
Let's think about that, folks.
do you want me to
address that? Sure, you can address it. If you don't address it, I'm going to address it, but go ahead.
Okay. why is that? Why is it that it's... I think it's because there's a lot of reasons behind why is there no research. Partially, it's because it's available. It's freely available. It doesn't need to go through the FDA requirements that psychiatric drugs need to go through. And so you can purchase micronutrients over the counter without having to have those rigorous trials to show that it's effective. And so I think that does stall a lot of research because they don't have to prove it has any effect in order to market it and sell it. I think that does play an important role in why it is that this has been happening. I think there's a long history to it that lots of there's been a lot of touting of vitamins and minerals as effective for the treatment of all kinds of things, but not the rigorous scientific approach backing that up. And so I think there's sort of just a general skepticism of this approach and an unwillingness to go there and actually support the types of trials that need to be done to show whether or not it actually does work.
You know, I would imagine that the use of micronutrients in cognitive behavioral therapy would be a very good mix.
I agree.
And that comes from my own experience working with an addiction recovery ranch that uses a micronutrient formula for addiction that takes down people's cravings because the brain's getting the nutrients that it needs, and it's healing the brain, helping the brain create new neural pathways so people can wake up and they can learn and follow these therapies.
Yes, it's still an unknown. What I'd love to see happen in my career is that we start to do those types of trials that provide that type of evidence to say that this is a better way forward. So you compare people just getting psychotherapy, and you compare them to psychotherapy plus micronutrients and see whether or not the addition of micronutrients improves outcomes. And so that's a really important work to be done. That sentence is years of work. Trying to conduct that type of study is going to take a long time. And so it's very slow building up the evidence base that we need to provide the your audience with the type of scientific backing to what's the best way forward if they're struggling with depression or OCD or ADHD. So it just takes a long time.
It takes a long time, and it takes a lot of funding.
Those are two things.
Yeah. And the pharmaceutical companies certainly have large reserves.
They do.
But you know, I learned a long time ago, and I don't know, I don't remember the source, but it was another group of researchers that I was working with, that science is a combination of research and observation.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we as medical consumers are observing a change in attitude, a change in mood, a change in well-being, there is a lot to be said for that.
As a consumer, absolutely. Consumers don't necessarily need those randomized controlled trials that scientists require in order to make any recommendations about what's a good way forward. Because if they've heard that their sister got better or their friend got better, then oftentimes that's enough evidence for them. But when it comes down to making huge changes to the people who are making the recommendations, when you go see your doctor and say, I'm feeling down, what do you recommend for me? The doctor is going to use the literature to make a recommendation about way to go forward. And they'll say that there's just not that evidence base to support micronutrients as a viable way forward, even though there are countless observations, as you describe, to support it. So you do need those types of observations, absolutely, to push the science and to encourage people to do those types of studies. It starts there. It absolutely starts with the observation. And then you need the rigorous scientific trials, which is what we've been trying to do and conduct in New Zealand for the last 6 years.
Well, I could say a lot about that. I know that there have been many doctors trained by the True Hope Nutritional Company in micronutrient therapy versus medication therapy. I think the tide is turning, but again, I agree with you wholeheartedly what you as researchers are up against and those changes that need to be made is a very strong system that is so embedded. But that's another reason why people need to start taking their healthcare back into their own hands to some extent, at least to start nutrating the body. And I bring what Bonnie Kaplan said into this mix. It's become a mantra of mine that nutrition should be the primary treatment and medication the supplement.
Right. Yes.
And we've gotten it all backwards. But let's since we're talking about this now, you actually worked with this young man, SJ, and then he went off the Empower Plus micronutrient formula for a while. And that was a part of your study, and he agreed to do that?
Yes, and we've done that many, many times since then. We've got studies at the moment where we've got children with ADHD taking micronutrients, and then we take them off of them, and we observe what happens. And that's so important. It's very painful, especially for the parents or for the individual when they're responding and they're doing so well. But in order to be able to say, well, the reason that you're doing so well is because of the micronutrients, you actually need to take them off in order to sort of draw that conclusion. Otherwise, oftentimes people will say the reason why they've gotten better is because of the good care that they've received and that they've been followed by a caring clinician who's monitored them very closely over time. And so you'll get those types of excuses from the skeptics that that's the reason why someone got better. So in order to provide that type of evidence that I was just talking about, you do need to do things like take them off and observe them. And we've got all kinds of data now that show a very, very clear on-off, a symptom control in that when people are taking the micronutrients, they do really well. We take them off and we see a regression, not typically immediately, but over a couple of weeks, we see a regression back. And in some of our studies, we see that after about 4 weeks, they're really insisting that they put their child back on to the micronutrients because they can't tolerate it anymore and they really want them to take the nutrients again. So we hear that from the parents all the time, and some of them can't even get to 4 weeks before pleading with us to put them back onto the micronutrients despite the fact that they are in a sort of a controlled study. So that we do see that regression. We've also observed that regression over much longer periods of time. And so we're now able to follow people who've been in trials and then observe them naturalistically a year, 2 years later and find out how are they doing. And inevitably what we've now noted is that if they stay on the micronutrients, they continue to do well, which is really important to know that even when you see a short-term change, that we also observe that in the long term. As I was describing before with the medications, you often see that short-term change, but over the long term, you start to see that the side effects often outweigh the benefits. That doesn't occur with the micronutrients. The side effects, if any, dissipate within a couple of weeks. Sometimes people might have a few headaches or stomach aches in the first couple of weeks, but we don't see that lasting over a long period of time. So we see wonderful benefits maintaining or even improving over a long time. And then the people who have come off of the micronutrients, we inevitably see a regression back to how they were before they took the micronutrients. So that's really important data because oftentimes people think that they're feeling better and therefore I don't need the micronutrients. And we've seen that over and over again. But our experience has been that if you stop those micronutrients, that you will return to how you were before you were taking them.
And so this is what happened to SJ.
His mother reported
that approximately 80% of his waking time, he was obsessing about God, unforgivable sin, and unrelenting fear of going to hell. His mother said that evenings were particularly difficult, her husband spending hours with SJ attempting to reassure him.
Yes.
And yet those symptoms dissipated when he went back on the Empower Plus.
Yeah.
Now, these changes do not take place in some cases immediately, but they take place over a matter of time. And within the first 2 or 3 weeks, as you noted in this study, however, 3 weeks, there was a notable change in SJ. We're going to be talking about that when we come back. Stay with us. This is Holy Hormones, Honey, the greatest story never told.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Understanding your mind, mood, and hormone cycle is dedicated to all the women who have ever experienced a hormone fluctuation, to the generations of women who have died because they had forgotten the source of their being. The richly illustrated groundbreaking book, co-authored by Leslie Carroll Botha and H. Sandra Chevalier Batik, is the product of a 9-year project which represents the author's shared passion and unified purpose to provide women with the education they need to reclaim their bodies and their souls. Find the book today. Click the link on the radio show page.
Are you taking medications for depression, anxiety, or hyperactivity? Are you one of the millions of people who have experienced negative side effects from your medication? Do you notice that you just don't feel like yourself? For decades, the nutrient therapy leaders at True Hope have helped tens of thousands of children and adults replace their medications with Empower Plus, an all-natural multivitamin and mineral complex clinically proven to fix the issues rather than cover them up. If you or someone you know is ready for a natural solution that works, go to www.truehope.com to learn more. 20 medical journal publications show that the Empower Plus formulation can replace harsh medications. Thousands of people taking all-natural Empower Plus are medication-free without a return of symptoms. Go to www.truehope.com or call 888-878-3467 to try a bottle of Empower Plus today. Type in offer code RADIO for 25% off your first order. Again, that's www.truehope.com or 888-878-3467.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Holy Hormones, Honey, with Leslie Carol Botha. To call into our program today, please dial 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to leslie@holyhormones.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. ADHD diagnosis or deficiency. Speaking with Professor Julia Ruckledge out of New Zealand, Christchurch, New Zealand, today, bringing us really fascinating information on the use of micronutrient formulas in combination with cognitive behavioral therapy, helping the brain wake up so that the therapies become effective and so that we can actually heal the neuro imbalances and some psychiatric conditions that our children are experiencing. If left untreated, yes, these symptoms worsen and go into adulthood. And that just makes sense. That's really common sense. It's not rocket science. If you've got some sort of imbalance as a child, a neurological imbalance, depression, disorders, or OCD, bipolar disorder, anxiety, and if that is not treated nutritionally, that is going to worsen over time. That's really part of women's wisdom and what we are doing with this radio show in educating all of us. We need to bring common sense back into our lives and back into healing. As I've mentioned before, when we got sick, our grandmothers would say, eat, right? And then they'd make a big pot of chicken soup, right? And they'd boil that chicken carcass, right? Well, why is chicken soup so magical? Because all the minerals from that chicken carcass went into the soup broth. And we feel vitalized. And we get well. And that's nutrition. Right there. We're going to be talking about that and a lot more, but I want to bring Dr. Ruckledge back on. A statement, and actually another study that came out in 2002, Dr. Ruckledge from Ames, Elson, Schwab, and Silver suggest that genetic diseases can reduce the binding affinity of enzymes, which in turn lowers the rate of metabolic reactions. Can you elaborate on that statement, please?
Sure. I mean, it's essentially saying that some people may need more nutrients than they can get out of their food. And so that they while some people can tolerate a certain level of a vitamin, that if you have a genetic dysfunction, that if you give that same level of that vitamin, it won't be enough in order for that metabolic reaction to occur optimally. But if you flood the system with the vitamin that you're you have this genetic defect to metabolize, then you will get better. And so that's part of the theory behind why we think the micronutrient approach seems to work, is that we might be correcting what is called the inborn errors of metabolism. There are probably other reasons why we think that this works, and we're just in the sort of the beginning stages of investigating that. You mentioned earlier about the diet. I mean, our diet has changed so dramatically over the last 50 years that it's really a human experiment in terms of whether or not processed food can make us, sustain a good and healthy life. And I think the resounding answer at the moment is coming through is that actually if you eat a lot of processed food, you will feel unwell. We have a lot of documentation about if you eating processed food has a massive impact on your physical illness, and we're just starting to uncover that if you eat a lot of processed food, or if mothers eat a lot of processed food when they're pregnant, that will have a massive impact on the long-term outcome of their children, and of course the long-term outcome on their own health. So there's data that's coming out right now from Australia with Felice Jacka's work that's showing when they follow these types of people and looking at their dietary patterns, that it can have a really important impact in terms of overall health. So the diet is really important in terms of just needing to feed young people and feed them appropriately. And at the moment, we're just not feeding them well, and no wonder their brains aren't working the way we expect them to.
The way that they were developed to.
Yes.
I mean,
so it's just that type of food is well known to be just nutrient deficient, and that we've embraced that type of food, but really to the detriment of our health.
I read somewhere that this generation now is going to be the first generation to die before their parents.
There are people who are predicting that. Yes.
All right.
It's a worry. We need to pay attention.
We need to pay attention. Absolutely, we need to pay attention. But it's also huge because, I mean, even if we go back to organic or eating natural foods, we still have another large issue to contend with, and that is the lack of minerals in the soil.
Yes. There's a lack of mineralization, but there's work that I've just been introduced to, which is the effects of herbicides on plants as well, and that it can affect the overall nutrient richness of that plant, that it depletes the plant of nutrients. And so we need to be really concerned about some of the agricultural practices that are going on right now and the effect that they're having on the quality of the food that we eat. So even if you do eat well in the sense that you eat lots of fruits and vegetables, or you eat mostly whole types of foods, that the things that we've been doing to the animals and to the plants is going to affect the nutrient richness of that food. And therefore, that's why we still think that even with a good diet, there are some people where it's not going to be enough, and that they need the micronutrient supplementation on top of that.
All right, and I will back that up. I posted an article on my blog, holyhormones.com, not too long ago. I'm going to say last week, about Monsanto's product Roundup, which is so widely used, is affecting male fertility.
Yes. So glyphosate is used widely, or Roundup, and that there's a lot of research that's come out, and it's not new research. It's just perhaps we just don't pay attention to it, or it doesn't get the media attention that it deserves, that shows that these products are actually reducing the nutrient richness of those foods.
Serious stuff, folks. We got to pay attention. Julia, let's address this other issue, and then I want to go into one more study that you conducted. But that is that most of us have been fed, there's a term for you, fed on a single nutrient theory. We go out and buy our C, we go out and buy our D, we go out and buy our B12 and zinc and maybe some other minerals, but those are all single nutrients. Now, when we're talking about a micronutrient formula, it is a synergistic ratio of vitamins, but mostly minerals, that are in these products. Explain the difference between a single nutrient theory and a micronutrient theory.
Well, the single nutrient theory probably comes out of the pharmaceutical view of the world, which is that we use one molecule to try to make a difference. So an antidepressant would be one molecule, and that by taking that improves your mood. And so we then take that same approach and we apply it to nutrients, but so we take one nutrient and we see whether or not that makes a difference. So when it comes to, say, ADHD, there have been studies over the decades where they've looked at, say, the impact of zinc by itself on ADHD behavior. And the results of those types of studies have been quite mixed. There are some positive results from taking that approach. They typically are modest. And then there are some studies that show that there's absolutely no effect. And that really shouldn't be that surprising, because the child with ADHD doesn't just have a zinc deficiency. They're going to have deficiencies potentially in lots of other nutrients. So why we sort of hone in on one, we think we're going to find that magic bullet, that one nutrient that will explain all disease and all illness. But if you step back and you look at that, it just doesn't make sense, because physiologically we've developed in order to use lots of nutrients, and that we don't just eat one type of food, that it's in the breadth of and variety of a whole bunch of different foods where we get our basic nutrition that will make our brains function optimally. Just giving one nutrient means that you're just giving that one, that potentially just that one coenzyme that will assist with only one neural pathway, or, you know, it could be a few others. But if you give them the other nutrients, that's when you're going to get the bigger effects. We need to do those types of trials that compare single nutrients to multi-nutrient formulas. That is a challenge. It can be really difficult to conduct those types of studies, but they really do need to be done to debunk this idea that you can make a really large impact on mental illness by just giving someone one nutrient. And if you just look at those studies, and I've reviewed many of them when it comes to mental illness, that the single nutrient approach is just not as powerful as the multi-ingredient approach.
All right, and that's why the TruHope broad spectrum micronutrient formula is so important. 36 ingredients, primarily minerals, vitamins, and amino acids, in quantities higher than an individual's usual level of daily dietary intake. Julia, we're not even going to have time to dive into the Canterbury or the Christchurch study on the earthquake. We've got just a couple of minutes left, but I'm going to give you a minute or so just to talk about this, because you had a case study going in Christchurch with people on ADHD, yes. Young adults, I believe, and then this earthquake hit. You didn't see a significant difference right away in the population you were working with, but over time, their stress levels differed from the general populations after the shock and trauma of the earthquake.
I'll just correct you a little bit on that one.
Okay, so go ahead.
We've been running, and actually it's now completed and is in press, meaning that it'll be coming out in the next year. It's a randomized control trial, which is where we've compared micronutrients to placebo to see whether or not it has an effect on ADHD symptoms. So that's a really, really exciting study that's going to be coming out next year. In conducting that study, the earthquake happened, and so we had this wonderful naturalistic opportunity of seeing whether or not people who we knew were taking micronutrients. So we followed it up with an open label phase, and so there were people in the trial where we knew that they were taking the micronutrients, and we knew of people who had stopped taking micronutrients, and so it was those two groups that we compared. So they all had ADHD. It's just some of them were taking micronutrients and some of them weren't. So it was a wonderful opportunity to see whether or not those people who happened to be taking the micronutrients at the time of the earthquake suffered less in terms of their stress levels and their anxiety levels. And we found that over a very short period of time, we're looking just at a couple of weeks, that there was a significant reduction in the stress associated with the earthquakes in those people who were taking the micronutrients compared to those who weren't. We then followed that up with a much larger trial after the February 22nd earthquake. That was the one that caused great destruction in Christchurch. Many people died in that. Our city is being flattened as a consequence of that earthquake. We had an opportunity there of looking to see whether or not we could reduce stress in the general population by using micronutrients, and we found that absolutely a really, really important way forward in terms of reducing acute stress associated with a natural disaster.
Thank you very much for that explanation and clarification. We're going to have to wrap it up here, but I do know that the holidays are a very stressful time for a lot of people. Lots of loss, grief, family dysfunction. One way to optimize your holiday experience really is to consider a broad spectrum micronutrient formula to get through the stress of the holidays. You know what I'm talking about, because we all get locked up in the hellhole of our brains. We fall down the rabbit hole. We don't have to live that way. We can be vibrant, we can be healthy, we can be thinking clearly, even under stress and duress, as Julia has just mentioned. Dr. Ruckelich, thank you very much for joining us on Holy Hormones, Honey. the greatest
Thank
story
you.
Never
it's
told.
Pleasure.
Happy holiday season to you. And I will be back again next week with another show. Until then, share this message of hope with others. Take care, everyone, and blessings.
Thanks for tuning in to Holy Hormones, Honey. Please join host Leslie Carol Botha again next Thursday at 12 noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great and healthy week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.